As I was saying, I so appreciate your pastors. They are friends of ours. There have been times we've just gotten together for a meal just to be with each other, because you have some of the choice servants of God as your leaders in this church. And we're just so thankful that you have been blessed. You've been blessed. And over the years, I've been able to come and share with you different times. And it's been a while since I've shared. So I thought, because you guys were such a part of really my healing and the support that you gave during a time about 12 years ago, where I had a brain bleed and lost a lot of my sight. And I just wanted to give you a real quick update. I don't know, I at the last minute threw this on your media people, if they have the ability. Okay, awesome. You guys are the best. All right. So in 2013, I was stressed out, close to burnout, working a job, being a pastor of a church that was struggling, and three kids. And I got my eyes off Jesus a little bit on myself, and I was burned out. Now, I don't often tell that part of the story, but I feel like I was supposed to tell that today. And about a week before I had a brain bleed, I called up one of my mentors and friends. I called up Pastor Tony Cook, and I think he's been here before. And I called him up and I said, I'm burned out. I don't know what to do. My house is in foreclosure. I'm on food stamps right now. And my church hasn't paid me in a year. And talk about swallowing your pride, right? And I said, and I'm afraid to talk to Pastor Sam. True story. He said, you need to talk to him. He'll help guide you through it, and he'll have resources to help. So my wife and I got in the car, and we drove to Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania, and we met Pastor Sam and Miss Sherlyn Smucker, and we poured our heart out for 3 hours at a Panera Bread. And he said, okay, we're gonna support you. We're gonna figure out ways to help. It's okay, we got this. You're not the only one who's ever suffered burnout. And we're not gonna kick you while you're down. We're gonna help you. And so they started a process where I was gonna just kind of get my focus back on track. Several days later, I suffered a massive brain bleed and was having emergency brain surgery at the Northern Westchester Hospital, between life and death, and didn't even know it. After a surgery, I woke up and I was 50% blind. I couldn't read. And remember, I'm burned out. But God, He's faithful. And His word works if you don't give up. The last words I said to my wife as they wheeled me into the operating room and I was in excruciating pain, I said, my course is not finished. God still has an assignment on our life. I didn't say that part. All I could get out was, my course is not finished and I love you. The process of healing was gradual. It was not instantaneous. It was gradual. But there was a part of that where I could have given up. There was a part of that that I could have just said, this is too hard. This is too hard. I'm giving up. I could have just crawled under the bed and just thrown in the towel, said, ministry's too much. Pastoring's too much. I don't even know. Thank God my wife who I don't even think you have met her too much. She's been here before, but not usually when I've spoken, because she's usually speaking for me, like that's what she's doing this morning. She's awesome. I married up, for those of you men in here. Those of you men in here, you know what I'm talking about, right? Who are married, and if you're not married, you need to find one that you can marry up with, okay? So I came out, and I was 50% blind. About maybe a month and a half, 2 months into it, my neuro-ophthalmologist looked at me, and he said, well, you're going to get some of your vision back. And I said, no, sir. I'm getting all of it back. He looked at me and he said, oh, and why do you say that? And I said, because I'm a person of faith. And he says, well, that's good for you. He says, I hope that works out for you. Serious. So he gave me a vision test, and if you don't mind, show the next picture. My first vision test was a little over, just about a month after my surgery. I'm going to show you what the vision test looks like. Next one. So this is a map of my eyes. Now, I already have a tiny bit of improvement, but anything that's black, anything that you see that's black, I cannot see. If your eye is a round circle, on the left side of both eyes, I was missing vision. But God. And over a course of time, I did start to coast a little bit. And then one day I was at a meeting at Pastor Barry and Sheila Frederick's church. They were having a spring prayer conference, and this was only about 4 years ago. And during that meeting, during the morning worship, I felt this amazing sensation coming in my eyes. Now, I had made a lot of progress, but I still wasn't 100%. I had made a lot of progress. And to the point that the same doctor who said, I hope that works out for you, he was amazed. And he even said to me, can I give your name to a specialist in Manhattan? They might want to study you. So I said, sure, they never called me, but I gave them my name. So then I want to show you the next test. This was 2016. So you can see it's getting a little better on the lower quadrants. And then I want to show you the last one. Why do I tell you this? Because if you're believing God for something, I don't want you to give up. You've got to keep at it. You've got to keep at it. God's word works. He is faithful that promised. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about unfinished business. Unfinished business. I give God all the glory. It had nothing to do with me other than I cooperated with his word and I never gave up. It was his power, it was his blood, it was his healing that makes me whole. And so I say that all to you today to say you had a part of that. Because there were many times during that recovery process that you folks would send us gifts from this church to help with medical expenses. And I want to tell you that at the end of that situation, not only did God restore our house, and we did not lose our house, our church moved and started to grow financially and in many other ways internally like we've never grown before. We're still not a huge church. We're still believing God for a building, but we don't give up. All right? So if you would, just to kind of break it up a little bit, That was my way of giving you an update and also say thank you. Thank you for believing with us. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for standing with us in not just, oh yeah, I'll pray for you, brother, but your faith coupled with the power of God and just all of God's people together just made a difference. And I give him all the glory. He's faithful. So whatever you're facing today, don't give up. Amen? All right, let's stand our feet right now. I want to read out of 2 Kings chapter 13, and we're going to begin in verse 14. And I'm going to read this, and I want you just to follow along if you would. And out of respect for the Word of God, that's why we're standing. I don't know if you do that every time, and we don't do it every single time at our church, but I believe sometimes when we're approaching the Word of God, we've got to just stop for a minute because God has something to say to us. Amen? All right, so Father, we thank you for your Word, and God, as I get ready to read this Word, I pray, God, that you would open up our eyes, that we would see Jesus, that we would see what you want us to see. Holy Spirit, that you're here in this place, and you are leading and guiding into all truth, and that you are bringing to bear your powerful Word in our lives, in Jesus' name, amen. The king of Syria Wrong verse, Doug. Got so excited. Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. And then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And Elisha said, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. And then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." So he put his hand on it. And Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, "Open the east window." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek until you have destroyed them." Then he said, "Take the arrows." So he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground." So he struck the ground three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times." You may be seated. Thank you, Father, for your Word. I want you to get a picture. Sometimes when we read Old Testament stories, we don't often see the connection to us as New Testament believers, okay? Because they seem kind of almost mystical because, we in our mind's eye, we see these as almost characters rather than real people, but they're real people. And God gives us the examples for us to learn and to grow from. But I believe there's some things symbolically in this passage that could help you in whatever unfinished business that you might have in your life. The enemy likes to come and attack. Now, in this particular case, the enemy was attacking Israel regularly. They were becoming a thorn in the side of Israel, and because Israel was not fully following God, they were only kind of halfway doing it. They were coming up short. They weren't getting the end result, and so now Elisha, the prophet, who had helped deliver them many times, was on his deathbed. The king now is desperate. Have you ever been desperate? At the end of your rope? Not so sure what to do? I think we've all been there at some point in our life. And So the king of Israel, he goes and he hears that Elisha's sick. He goes in to see Elisha. Elisha tells him something really kind of strange. And by the way, this is Elisha's last prophecy right before he dies. And he tells him, go get a bow and arrow. So the king goes and gets a bow and arrow. And had I thought of it, I would have brought my bow and arrow. I like visuals. Don't worry, I'm not going to shoot anybody. So the king went and he got a bow and arrow. And Elisha says, now open the east window. And I want you basically to, you know, I want you to put your hand on the bow. And so the king is obeying. He's cooperating. He's cooperating, isn't he? So he cooperates with the man of God, puts his hand on it. Man of God puts his hand on it. And they shoot the arrow out the window. That's great. And what does God say? God says, or the prophet says, you know, the arrow of the Lord, right? He says, the arrow of the Lord. And so the arrow of the Lord has been sent out to take ground. Now, in ancient cultures, when a conquering army would come, the conquering leader, general, king, in fact, Alexander the Great did this. When he would conquer an area, he would go in and he would take a bow and he would just shoot an arrow into as far into the country as he could. And that was his way of marking his territory and say, that's mine. I'm taking over now. So Elisha's giving this prophetic picture to the king. The king obeys. They open the east window. He shoots the arrow. The prophet says, the arrow of the Lord. It goes out. Now he says, take your arrows, more than one, and I want you to strike the ground. Now, that may seem a little bit weird, right? I want you to strike the ground. And he strikes the ground. And he strikes the ground three times. Then he stops. Now you would think, oh, I did it right. But the man of God got upset. And he said, you should have kept on striking. You should have kept on going. Unfinished business. See, all of us in our lives, God puts something in our heart, and there may be things that we didn't quite do, or we only sort of did it. And today I want to encourage you that as New Testament believers, we have so much grace available to us and so much mercy. And just by the way, mercy is being treated better than you deserve. Grace is God's power released through you to do what you can't do yourself. That's the grace of God. Grace is not a license to sin, by the way. Grace is God's power released in you to overcome habits, sin, problems. That's the grace of God on our lives. But we still have to cooperate with it. God still has a plan for us. And so this morning, I want to challenge you to keep striking the ground. Because if you'll notice in this story, he said, but now you'll strike Israel or Syria only three times. Syria was their enemy. And if we're really going to follow the line of history all the way to today, do you know Syria is still a thorn in Israel's side? I'm not making a political statement here. I'm telling you that God even knew about this in the Old Testament. And the prophet told him, keep striking the ground. Unfinished business. Now, if you would, we're going to go over into our New Testament reading. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, I like to make sure there's a connection because sometimes when we read an Old Testament story, we don't often make the connection to New Testament believing. But in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm sure your pastor has probably taught on this, and by the way, your pastor is a brilliant teacher, and he is, and I only wish I could be that line upon line, precept upon precept, you know, thorough person. I am more of an inspirational speaker and treacher. I treach a little bit, okay? And it's just the way God wired me. So I'll just stay in my own lane, all right? But praise God. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 is going to be my primary verse. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Praise the name of the Lord. And it says this. He says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things and to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." So this is real specific instructions to the New Testament believer. Now, if you study a little bit on this, the Greek structure of Ephesians 5:18, it basically says to be being filled. In other words, to keep being filled. Now, I want to connect it with you just a little bit. Remember the prophet saying, strike the ground. Strike the ground. Perhaps you're in here and you got filled with the Holy Spirit, years ago. I'm going to show my age right now. I got filled with the Holy Ghost in 1980. It changed my life radically as a teenager. I was 15 at the time, got filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and it is one of the reasons why I stand here today before you. It's because I got filled with the Holy Ghost. But one of the things that I discovered in my life is that we leak. How many in here have leaked? We leak. And so when I got born again, I'll show you folks in just a second. We don't want to forget our friends over here. So I got born again, and it was just a cataclysmic thing that happened. Now, water is always a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's always in the Word, and I love water illustrations. I have several. Sometimes people have gotten wet. Don't worry, I'm not going to throw water this time. Have I done that here? I might. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I have done that before, but so I got born again, and quite frankly, I got filled with the Holy Ghost too. All right. So I want you just to imagine this going up all the way. But like anything in our lives, we leak. The world influence tries to come on us. And whatever you're listening to, whatever you're watching, the world starts to clog up this nice clear water. And because we leak and we don't keep the water in there all the time, right? Because we're supposed to leak out on a thirsty humanity. We are supposed to bring refreshment to people at the workplace, even the boss you don't like. Oh man, I have had to learn some things about bosses. See, I still work in the workforce. And I've had to learn some things. I've had to learn how to be a good employee, regardless of the person's station in life, religion, identity. I've had to deal. But God's called us to be light. He's called us to be salt and light. We're supposed to bring a preservative to the world. We're supposed to bring life wherever we go. Where a river goes and flows, there's life on both sides of the bank. So let's look at Ephesians 5 again, but this time I'm going to have you look in the earlier part of the chapter. In Ephesians 5, hallelujah. And he says this in verse 8. I'm going to pick up verse 8. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as," what?
Children
of the light. And he says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed, are made manifest in the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, Christ will give you light." Verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise." Now, that word circumspectly, that one got me as a teenager, and I did not know what that meant. Okay? Circumspectly, what does that mean? It means be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of the culture that you live in. Be aware of the worldliness that tries to creep into our lives. Because worldliness will try to creep into your life. Worldly philosophies, and your pastor's great at teaching on a Christian worldview, right? And apologetics. Nobody better than Pastor Jay, right? And here's the thing. You have to understand those things. Now, I personally, over the years, ever since 9/11, somehow I got really, really, I've gone through two phases now. I really got interested in talk radio. And so I'd listen to talk radio. And then there was a period of time in my life where the Lord got my attention. He said, "I want you to cut that out." And so I cut it out. And then I guess probably in the last, say, 5 years, I started listening to talk radio again. I didn't feel conviction. And I checked in with the Lord, and he's like, "It's okay." But then it was to the point that I was spending more time listening to talk radio than I was listening to the Word or praying or listening to other preachers and listening to the Word for myself, because I don't know if you realize this, but preachers have to feed themselves too, okay, so that we can feed the flock of God. And so I guess it was about maybe a year ago, year and a half ago, the Lord spoke to me again, and he said, "You need to cut that out." Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You see, there's a lot of things in our life. They're not necessarily deep, dark sins, but the worldliness creeps in. Now, if you see my little illustration here, I said I was going to come over and show you. So if you see my little illustration here, the worldliness can creep into our lives. We're born again. Do you see the little white balls down there? We're born again. You know, we got the water of the Holy Ghost on the inside. Oh, Shanda! We're excited, right? But, you know, the Word of God tells us that we're light in the world. We are light. If we're light, then we have to make sure. We have to make sure that nothing's blocking the light. We have to make sure nothing blocks the light. But if you notice in my illustration, the worldliness creeps in. The worldly philosophies creep in. How much music, it's amazing how much music will influence you. Subconsciously. Retail marketers know this. They play certain music when you go into certain stores. Stores they want you to spend a lot of money on, they'll play classical music to make you feel like you're classy. They want you at Christmas time, they want you to feel happy. And so they will play as much happy Christmas music as they possibly can, because the happier you are, the more easily it is to get your dollars. So the world knows this. And yet, I know Christians will listen to really garbage music. And I don't get it. I don't get it. They're clogging themselves up. You know, they were doing something at work this last week, and they said, oh, we're going to give everybody a playlist on our music service. We want to give everybody a playlist. And they were celebrating Black History Month, so they were all Black artists. And so they even asked us, hey, who's your favorite? Who's this? Of course, you know, I'm doing B.B. and C.C. Winans and Kirk Franklin and, you know, and Dante Bow, and everybody's kind of looking at me like, well, who are they, you know? And then at the end, they say to us, oh, by the way, this playlist we're giving you is not work appropriate because there's a lot of explicit lyrics in the playlist. And I thought, then why am I down? I'm not downloading that, right? You make choices in your life to stay in the lane that God's put you in. But remember our story that we started with. If you would have kept striking the ground, you would have defeated the enemy. But because you only struck three times, you're only going to defeat them three times. You should have kept striking the ground. Unfinished business. There are things that God asks us to do for maintenance that will help us. To walk circumspectly is to be aware of your surroundings. It's almost like having your head on a swivel. And he says this, he goes back and he says, walk circumspectly and be not as fools, but wise. But wise. So if you're wise, there are certain things that you will get rid of out of your life that may not be terrible, deep, dark sin. My wife and I made a choice over 30 years ago. A couple choices that we made, but one of them was, one real important one, is that we will never see an R-rated movie. I don't regret that. You say, wow, that's pretty extreme. Are you being legalistic? No. Nope. I'm being wise. I'm being wise. Walk circumspectly. Be aware of what's going on. Be aware that the enemy is trying to keep you down. But if I'm going to be successful in the things of God, then I have to follow through. I have to keep doing the thing that has brought me victory. During my recovery from my brain ordeal, I had to keep doing what was the right thing to do. When I couldn't read, I would pick up a book and just keep trying to read it. And I would say, no, I am going to read. I am going to read this. I am going to read this. I am going to read this. And because it was huge print, and at that time, I didn't need reading glasses because of my age. Currently, I don't have reading glasses. But full disclosure, I do have corrective lenses, okay? I'm over 40. Some of you get that. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Where was I? You got to keep doing the things that you got to do. But my kids would say, I would drop something on the ground or somebody would drop something and they'd say, oh, or they didn't want me to trip on something. You know, they're like, oh, dad, don't trip. Do you see this, dad? Everybody's trying to help me. Everybody, you know, do you see this? And I'm like, I see everything. And that was my confession. I see everything. I see everything, both spiritually and physically. And because I made that my confession, I kept striking the ground. I kept striking the ground. I kept striking the ground. And then there was a time where I had recovered a lot of my sight, as you saw in my journey. Am I going too long?
No.
Okay. And I had recovered a lot of it, but I hadn't finished. And I'm just being honest with you. I could have probably been a lot quicker in getting to the end that you saw had I kept striking the ground. But I got a little lazy. Follow through. Unfinished business. So, how do we get rid of this? I'm going to tell you. It's right here, but you're going to never forget this verse after this. So he says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the word of the Lord is. He says, don't be drunk, right, with wine, which is in excess, dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. The ongoing action of being filled with the Spirit. When we are filled with the Spirit, there is an ongoing action. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, what ends up happening is God is able to get rid of stuff out of your life. He's able to bring it to the surface. And just like water purifies, the Holy Spirit begins to just take things out of your life. Doesn't happen necessarily all at once, but when you are praying in the Holy Ghost with other tongues and you're praying out the mysteries of God and you are full to overflowing to the point that now you are going to spill out on the rest of the world, you will get rid of some of those blockages and you will have finished business instead of unfinished business. If you have been filled with the Holy Spirit in your Christian walk, and it happened 40 years ago, like it happened for me 44 years ago, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. If I just stopped, my life would have looked like the vase before that. But the ongoing action of being filled, be being filled, be being filled, be being filled. Every chance you get to get another dose of the Holy Spirit is so vital for your life. I'm not talking about manufacturing something. I'm talking about personal times that you're in your car worshiping God instead of listening to the junk music. All right? You're in your car, worshiping God and praying in other tongues, and people think you're on the phone at the stoplight. Or when I'm out blowing snow, and I can't stand snow, by the way. I'm very happy this winter that we have not had a lot. And of course, where we live, we get less than you. So I'm running the snowblower, And I'm just what am I doing? I am stirring myself up in the Holy Spirit. I'm maintaining that flow because the flow comes. When we continue in the flow of God, God's able to make so much available to us. And then when you're in seasons and situations like I was, there in Barry and Sheila Fredericks, Adam Fredericks are the pastor, Adam's the senior pastor now, and the Fredericks are pastor emeritus. And I was in this prayer conference sitting over to the right-hand side of the room on a Wednesday morning, and just during worship, this swirling feeling kind of came around from where my brain bleed was. And I'm feeling this power of God coming in my brain again. And all of a sudden, my eyes just open up a little bit more. I was like, whoa. And so I'm standing there. I go over to the leader, and I'm getting ready to thank her for her teaching. And as I'm thanking her, that was great teaching. I'm still not connecting the dots that something had happened to me again. And it was the same healing power of God that initially came into my body, but was stirred up in that prayer conference. Why? Because we are continually filled. We're supposed to leak on the rest of the world and bring life to them. And so I'm there. I feel this, the presence of God. I'm teary-eyed. I'm saying thank you. And my good friend, Pastor Jack Uris, who's 6'4". I'm not a tall man, people. He's 6'4". He's standing to my left. Now, I've always had, if you looked at the map that I showed you, I have a little bit of a left hand. I had a little bit of a left-hand problem with my vision. And for the first time in over 10 years, I could see through the peripheral vision, and the first person I saw was Jack. And I started to cry at that moment. And I said, my eyes. And they opened up. They opened up even more. Don't give up. You've got to keep striking the ground so that the enemy knows his place. Walk circumspectly. Get rid of the junk that's in your life. If it's not, you say, well, it's not that big of a deal. If it's holding you back, it's a big deal. If it hinders your walk, your witness with God, get rid of it. It may not be, I'm addicted to pornography, or I'm this, or I'm addicted to drugs, or I'm a heroin addict. It may not be that. And I'm talking to believers today. Even believers have struggled with those things, and there's no condemnation to you. But you can get rid of those habits if you would just cooperate with the Word of God. God will set you free. Over this last year, our church has really been focusing on getting to know God, discovering freedom in Christ. And again, not a license to sin, but discovering how Christ sets us free, discovering our purpose, that God has created each one of you individually, unique, and He formed you in your mother's womb. He's got an assignment for your life. And that assignment, it needs to happen, but it's not going to happen automatically. It takes you taking care of unfinished business with God. Get rid of that thing that is hindering you, that is causing you to just kind of slow down. In fact, over there in Hebrews, I believe it's Hebrews, I'm kind of shooting from the hip here, where it says, lay aside every weight, every hindrance, and run the race that's in front of you. Lay aside. When you get the picture of a Greek runner, he doesn't have a lot of stuff on him. He's got running shorts and that's it. Olympic runner. They don't carry a lot of weight. Get rid of the weights so that you can be light. And that's what I felt like God wanted me to bring to you today. Don't give up. Keep striking the ground. The arrow of the Lord. God has set his love upon you. There is nothing that you could have done in your life that would cause God to not love you. Jesus died for you so that you could have life. You could have a relationship with Christ. And the Holy Spirit was given so that we could have power, that we could live as wise people on planet Earth. And that's such good news. And so when you read through these scriptures and in Ephesians chapter 5, I encourage you. It gives you some practical things to do, how husbands should treat their wives. It's a great, just very practical to live our lives as light. We are light. We're light in a dark world. God needs you to shine brighter. And the way you shine brighter is to be being filled. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to be. You need to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like us to pray right now. Is that all right with you? Amen. Amen. I'm just going to ask this just because I don't know. There might be some guests here and there might be somebody here who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, being born again is not a political statement. It's not just a buzzword. Being born of the water. Being born of the water. And being born of the water and being born of the Spirit. Jesus talked about being born again. Born again. And so, if you're here, like every head bowed, every eye closed, and if you're here, just to give privacy to people, if you're here and you would like to be born again today, you'd like to ask Jesus into your life to give you a new life. Maybe you could identify with the illustration that things are clogged up. Maybe you didn't see any little white balls in your life. All you saw was dark. If that's you and you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior today, we're going to pray a very simple prayer together. I'm not going to embarrass you. And right there in your seat, you can be born again by faith. If that's you, I want you to raise up your hand and say, "That's me. I need to be born again." Is there anybody at all? Anybody at all that you'd say, I need to be born again? I'm just going to wait just for a moment. Perhaps you've been away from God, and this would be an act of rededication for you. If that's you, I want you to raise up your hand and say, "I need to recommit my life to you. Thank you." Is there anyone else? Just raise your hand at me. Just wave it so I can see it. I see everything, but I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything. All right. Let's just pray a simple prayer of rededication right now, shall we? Say, "Father God, I come before you. In the name of Jesus, I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead. I receive his forgiveness in my life right now. I come back to God and I recommit my whole being to him. In Jesus' name, I call Jesus my Lord." Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. If you did that, I want to encourage you, please make sure you tell one of the prayer partners that are going to be available here in just a moment. If you would like to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I'm going to just be available down here. If you want to be prayed for, if you have need of healing to be stirred up in your life, specifically maybe in an area that has been an ongoing battle for you, I would welcome to be able to pray for you and keep that power of God stirred up. Because what do we want to do? We want to keep striking the ground, right? We want to keep making sure that the enemy and sickness and disease is an enemy to us. It is an enemy to us. And so what we want to do is we want to keep striking the ground, keep the power of God stirred up. Thank you so much for allowing me to share with you today. God bless you. You're an amazing congregation. Praise God.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.